When you stop to think about it, there are a few key actors who really make a splash in science fiction films, television, other media. And they just show up again and again. So here, Zach and I are going to try to come up with a definitive top 10 actors of science fiction. Zach, are you ready for this?
Let's just focus in on that keyword. We're going to try.
Welcome to Fantasy for the Ages, the show where a father and son get together and talk about fantasy, science fiction, and other nerdy things we enjoy. Thanks for joining us today for this fun little episode where we're talking about actors of science fiction content, ones that just show up all the time and have really made an impact for us. I mean, like, we've enjoyed their content, and we think that makes them worthy to be in a top 10 list. Separately, Zach and I have both created lists. I think, Zach, you have 10 different actors you're going to potentially mention. I've got 9. We probably have some overlap because we haven't shared notes.
I don't know how much we do, though.
We've got to have at least a few. But we'll see. We have very different minds, different eras we come from. Yeah, we'll see.
Admittedly, not all of mine are from my quote-unquote era.
Well, that gets interesting now. That piques my interest more. But if we've piqued your interest, don't forget to like the episode and subscribe. Please subscribe if you haven't yet. It's one simple little act you do, and it just makes our hearts so warm. Zach's like, Dad, a little over the top.
Nah.
All right. So there's no firm criteria of who can make it on these lists. It's just
not at all.
Totally and subjective.
Inevitably, we're going to forget people that were amazing. We're going to put people's performances above others. Because at the end of the day, we're saying that this is definitive. It's also entirely subjective and based upon what did I think of in the last 24 to 48 hours.
Well, and 100%, there will be some amazing science fiction performances that just we haven't watched or we're not familiar with. Or they're too old now, so we don't talk about these anymore. We don't want to dismiss such incredible performances, but we're just fans here having fun today. So we didn't work on it that hard. So let's do this then. We're going to start by listing one at a time, back and forth. And I'm encouraging you, Zach, to kind of start with who you think might be your weaker ones.
The weaker ones.
Great, but they're not as great as some of the other ones on your list. And I'll do the same. And we'll see what we come up with.
All right.
So give us your first one.
I'm going to start with one that I think is a little bit weaker performance-wise, but I very much enjoyed them. Okay. It's also one of my a little bit older ones in terms of like my generation or not. Ben Browder. You don't know that name. You know who this is.
Ben Browder. Because
we've watched both things that I know this person from together.
I'll totally have his image sitting right in the middle of us now. Yeah. So they know who Ben Browder is.
So let's start with he took over as the kind of lead in the final seasons of Stargate SG-1 as Lieutenant Colonel Cameron
Ben
Mitchell.
Browder.
But even more so, let's talk about Farscape.
I didn't watch Farscape.
You didn't watch any Farscape? I'll admit, I didn't get super into it. But I watched enough to be like, yeah, this is a classic. This is old sci-fi, trying to be Star Trek to fill the void kind of thing. And it was enjoyable.
I just didn't get into Farscape. Too many other things to watch.
Ben Browder is kind of the epitome of the lead in B sci-fi shows.
Yes, B level. That's why I didn't really get into it.
He is like often the best part of cheesy sci-fi things.
But Stargate, that's not B-level. Stargate's top. That's top-tier stuff.
On the one hand, yes. And the quality of it in those later seasons where it was there was. But, like, the writing had gone down a little bit.
They were running out of stories.
And they were at their 10th season kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. My lowest, totally different caliber of actor, just hasn't done as many things in sci-fi, but the sci-fi things he's done, I have very much enjoyed, but I've enjoyed a lot of his other acting as well. I'm bringing Tommy Lee Jones to my science fiction list. Okay. I mean, he's got a long career, done so many things, but he's got the Men in Black films, Space Cowboys. Did you ever see Space Cowboys?
I don't think I did.
That's it's more a drama, but there's definitely a science fiction element to it. And it's just hilarious. And how he ends up in that movie is great. And more recently, he had a small part in Ed Astra, which big, you know, successful sci-fi film. I haven't seen that one. I'm familiar with the film. I'll watch it eventually. But he has a small role in that, too. So a few smatterings of significance in sci-fi films. He's also done, you know, sci-fi adjacent, like he was Two-Face in one of the Batman films. You know, he's got some things there. So Tommy Lee Jones.
Moving way up the list, in my opinion, I'm moving to a much better actor.
Wow. What, wait, from Ben Browder, right?
Yeah, from mine.
Okay. Like, from Tommy mine. Lee Jones is, you know, a top-tier actor.
But similarly to Tommy Lee Jones, hasn't necessarily done a ton of sci-fi things. The reason they have to be this low on my list, though, is just the one thing that I really think of them as sci-fi, they did great. But the reason I really enjoy them is something completely different. Stephen Strait. This is James Holden from The Expanse.
Ah, I was like, I know that name. Who is that?
And he does a great job there. But every time I see him as a long-haired emo boy from Sky High with fire powers.
I never watched that. Because I'm familiar with Sky High. Yeah.
I didn't see it at first. And then Rach walks out, sees it, and goes, yeah, that's War and Peace. And I'm like, no.
Oh, that's good.
So that is one of the My Generation things. Sky High is just, it's my childhood kind of thing. And seeing War and Peace as James Holden is just really funny every time.
He does a nice job. Some people find him a little flat as James Holden. Like, everyone else finds James Holden a little flat. Yeah, James Holden. All right, Stephen Strait, a worthy pick. My next one, I feel I had to kind of obligatory put this one on the list, but he's way down at my my eighth pick of any of them, and that's Harrison Ford. You know, he's got all his Star Wars content that he's out there for, but he also had Blade Runner and the sequel, Blade Runner 2049, which I'm not a big fan of the Blade Runner films, but they are classic science fiction.
Absolutely.
More solid content. And his performance in Blade Runner is top tier. You add that with all the Star Wars stuff, which has had such an impact for science fiction, even though it's, you know, space opera. It's definitely not hard science fiction. Doesn't matter. We're not worried about that in this. Harrison Ford deserves a shout out.
And now that we've moved more to, like, what... No, I don't have a good segue that didn't feel like I was insulting Tommy Lee Jones, and I didn't want to. He's just an older generation actor, but I love his stuff, so I'm like, I can't do that. Avoiding segues that insult people I enjoy. my next one is the, I think, first woman on our lists, Zoe Saldana.
Okay.
Number She's of been doing key a number things of to put there lately. Sci-fi wise. Let's throw Uhura in the reboot of Star Trek stuff.
Yes, very good.
If we count comic things, I think we can throw Guardians of the Galaxy as sci-fi more than anything else. Yes. It's space.
Right.
If we can count Star Wars, we can count that. And then a little bit of a different take, but her role in Avatar.
Totally. Yeah. Those are all very eligible sci-fi content. I like that. She's a good pick, Zach. And thank you, because you're the younger generation. You're going to think of some of those that just aren't going to come to me. But she's definitely worthy. Okay, my next one. Will Smith.
You really liked the Men in Black train.
Well, he's Men in Black.
We've also got iRobot there.
iRobot, Independence Day.
Do we count I Am Legend?
Yes, I have it on my list. I Am Legend. After Earth, which he also produced.
I hear was bad.
Yeah, but it's still science fiction. And then one that's kind of borderline science fiction, Hancock, that superhero, schmuck superhero movie, you know.
Yeah, that one goes a little bit into the, like, superhero fantasy vibe, but yeah.
But it's borderline. It's adjacent. But that's quite a few films that Will Smith has given his time and been a lead presence in, and he does them well. Very much leans into the action and comedy elements of it, but doesn't matter. I enjoy seeing him on the screen in these sci-fi or sci-fi related movies.
This next one, I almost feel bad that they're not higher up on the list, but I feel like it's one of those people where if you really, really love them, they're going to be like one of your top. But more likely, they're just like, they're okay. But you really enjoy when they do things. And that's Katie Sackhoff.
Katie Sackhoff. So yes.
When we get our Battlestar Galactica, we got our Starbuck in there, we hop over to Star Wars, The Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, yep. A number of things here and there. Always does a great job.
Totally. She's kind of become recognizable in the general pop culture as sci-fi related. So yeah, I like that. Like that pick. Good job. My next one, I don't like putting him on my list, but I can't deny he's had some massive science fiction blockbusters, and it's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I didn't put him on my list.
Minority Report, excellent science fiction movie. Edge of Tomorrow, even better science fiction film. War of the Worlds, science fiction film. Oblivion, science fiction film. And I mean, he doesn't even take just easy science fiction films. Some of these are hard science fiction, and he turns in very strong performances. Now, he does tons of other stuff that's not sci-fi at all, and his name attached to something means it's going to make millions of dollars.
That's what the big thing for me. I feel like Tom Cruise does so much sci-fi because sci-fi movies go, who can we grab to make our movie seen by everyone?
And yet, what I'll say is because of that, we get some of the better science fiction films. Because of Tom Cruise.
Get bigger budgets.
Other people wouldn't necessarily draw people to, like, Minority Report. Just hearing about the storyline in the previews with some actors they've never heard of could have been a flop. But, oh, Tom Cruise is in it, so they go to see it. Therefore, studios will take a risk on a better science fiction story because they know the actor is going to sell the film. You hear what I'm saying there?
I hear what you're saying. A very valid point.
I like that. So I just talked myself into giving validity to why he's on my list. What's your next one?
The next one that I'm going to put here is only so far down because I think a lot of the things that they've done in their career and are best known for are way before my time. And I had to kind of search and go, can I put this one on sci-fi? And then I went, yes, I can. Partially because I wanted so hard to include someone from Doctor Who. And at that point, I had a lot of options. And Doctor Who's great. So who am I picking? Who am I picking? And I picked one of the least Doctor Who people there because I pulled John Hurt out of this.
But and I then mean, I, John Hurt, we're talking started, Alien all the way back
I started
Alien.
Looking at it and I went, hold on, Alien, he is the chest burster.
Yes.
And then I go a little bit further back and I'm like, he's the lead in the adaptation of 1984 back there. And I'm like,
John,
yeah,
is valid.
Is that the future? No. Is that sci-fi? I think so. Dystopian stuff? Absolutely. And so it's one of those things where it's like, he's got a very, just like Tommy Lee Jones, large, diverse career. But some of the things that he did that were sci-fi are classics.
I'm not arguing that one at all. I said that I only had 9 on my list, but as we've been talking, I thought of one. I'm like, wait a second. Why didn't I put him on here? Because I kind of like some of his things. I'm not sure how much he's done specifically science fiction, but I'm going to throw in one of the newer actors compared to others on my list. I'm going to add in Jason Momoa.
Which is our first crossover of having someone on both our
lists. Hey! I first came upon Jason Momoa in Stargate Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a fan ever since. Now, he's done other things that are great that definitely aren't science fiction. I mean, Game of Thrones, that's not science fiction, you know. Aquaman, sci-fi adjacent.
Didn't even include that as one of my ones to put there, but I did include, like, Dune, Duncan Idaho.
Right, which is huge right now. Still haven't seen the second movie.
He's got that show on Apple TV or something, C?
Yes, which I've only watched like 2 episodes because your mother didn't like it. I need to go back and watch it, though. I liked what I was seeing.
And this fits, feels like it fits into a sci-fi speculative fiction.
That's sci-fi, yes. I'd go with sci-fi on that. Did you have any other sci-fi tie-ins for him? Because I didn't take
those were the ones that those Stargate, Dune, and Sea were my three I grabbed for him.
I mean, just Stargate and Dune is enough to have him on the list. You know, both very successful things. One on TV, one in the movies. So, okay, good. We have a crossover now because I thought of a younger person late. Okay, what's your next one?
My next one, I'm trying to rank these a little bit as I go, and I'm like, who's next? And I think I'm going to go another Dune poll, not the old Dune, the new Dune, Rebecca Ferguson.
I like it. I like it.
And the big thing for me is not just, she did a great job, both Dunes, very much enjoyed it, but she also was the lead in Silo.
Yes.
And did a great job there.
Totally.
I feel like we have the potential for someone to have more and more sci-fi pull here, and I'm like, I don't mind seeing more Rebecca Ferguson in our sci-fi.
Works for me. All right. My next one is a fun one that I threw on here and some real science fiction elements. Also has a bunch of sci-fi adjacent content. Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
He's in Star Wars back in those prequels. He's got all the Marvel content, which is sci-fi adjacent. And his stuff tends to lean a little more towards the sci-fi because he's with S.H.I.E.L.D.
A little bit.
Snakes on a Plane, one of my most entertaining movies of all. It's loosely sci-fi.
Yeah, I'm like, is that sci-fi? I don't know about
loosely,
that.
Loosely.
I feel like you're just calling fiction sci-fi at this point.
Unbreakable, which is fantasy sci-fi.
You get a little bit, that whole series.
And, it's a series. Yes. Kong Skull Island. Again,
I'd give monster movie like that. Realm. The sci-fi-ish.
Deep Blue Sea. That's sci-fi.
Yeah.
And he goes out classic. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, you got to watch Deep Blue Sea. Samuel Jackson's great. LL Cool J, best character in the whole show, which is funny. He's a rapper turned actor, but he repeated what Will Smith did, but didn't hit it as big. But I like him. I really do. He was in the remake of RoboCop, which isn't a very good movie, but it's definitely sci-fi. Arena, a lesser known film, is sci-fi that he's in. And Jumper, which was actually a pretty big film.
I almost included Jumper for someone else, and then I chose not to include that person.
Like, and everyone loves Jumper.
It flopped so hard. I know, love that
but
movie.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. So all those things. Samuel L. Jackson, his stuff has the sci-fi related stuff. Some of it's pretty popular, some of it's not. The closer it is to true sci-fi, the less successful it's been. Yeah. Nevertheless, he's all over, and he's worthy of being on my top 10.
Fair enough. I think the next, because I'm down to, I think, my top three. And so the next one, I think I have to put here just because they're a much newer find for me than my other two. But I think they are fantastic and shine more than people around them whenever they are in things. But I don't know if you're going to recognize the name.
Okay.
Jared Harris.
Oh, yeah. No, I know Jared Harris. He's on Foundation. Mm-hmm. He's on... Oh, man.
He's Seldon in Foundation. He's Dawes in The Expanse.
Yes, that's the other name I wanted to come up with. Yeah, he's a sci-fi guy for sure.
And I think Foundation is really... I haven't gotten very into the show yet, but I enjoyed the book. And just seeing what he can do with that performance is like, that is perfect. That is like one of the best casting I think I've seen in sci-fi.
Yeah, he can play a good Harry Seldon. I've watched half of the second season, but there's three seasons out now for Foundation. So
through half of the second season, or you've watched half of the second season?
I've watched through half of the second season.
Okay, I was very confused. I was sitting here going, why did you only watch the second half of the second season? Like, that's such a weird thing to just watch randomly.
It's a series that hasn't sucked me in, unfortunately. They've strayed so far from the original content that I'm struggling.
Which is where I'm really confused, because from the original content, I'm like, how do you have this original character in it for more than three episodes? And it's like, he's in it for all of them. I'm down for it, but that doesn't feel right.
Well, no, when you watch it, you'll understand. That's not the part they've done so badly.
And that's fair.
Although the show is produced beautifully. I mean, mm-hmm. Apple TV doesn't put out any content that doesn't look amazing and have some real money behind it. But it just hadn't sucked me in. They have pacing issues with some of their shows.
Fair enough.
All right, my next one, Keanu Reeves.
Valid.
The Matrix.
Almost made my list.
The Day the Earth Stood Still. Johnny Mnemonic, one of his older ones. Hard sci-fi film. A Scanner Darkly. And one of the most entertaining parts that is sci-fi because time travel is involved is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and its sequels.
I guess you could technically call that sci-fi. Yeah.
Totally sci-fi. Excellent. You know, so, you know, he's got quite a few things out there. I mean, The Matrix alone would probably be enough to put him on the list for its impact on society and culture and success as a film franchise. But there's some other legitimate sci-fi that he's been in. So, yeah, Keanu Reeves.
All right. My last two are both big name, in my opinion, at least.
So maybe you'll be duplicating. I've got three left as well.
I don't think one of them will duplicate. The other might.
Okay.
I'm going to do that one first.
You're going to do the one that you think is going to duplicate first?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, she's number two on my list. So.
And she's totally. Number two on mine. I don't think we need to, like, this is a big enough name. I don't think we need to go into why.
But there are some surprising things she's been involved with that are sci-fi connected that some people don't remember. I mean, obviously everyone knows Alien, the whole Alien franchise. But Galaxy Quest, man. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious science fiction Star Trek spoof that she turns in a brilliant performance. Love that one. Of course, Avatar. Mm-hmm. She was a role in that. Ghostbusters. Sci-fi adjacent. Here's a tougher one. It's loosely adjacent, but it is there. Cabin in the Woods.
Is a reach?
They're in the background, you know, running things with all their technology.
Like a deep state tech thing, a little bit of a
like
conspiracy sci-fi. Like, I'll give you a little on that one. More than I would most horror movies.
She's done some voiceover in animated sci-fi. Uh-huh. Like, she's a regular character in Futurama. Mm-hmm. And plays a character in WALL-E. So, I mean, sci-fi, those are all good ones there. She's done a lot of other stuff, too, of course. Alien is what put her on the map, though, and she's never strayed too far from those initial sci-fi roots.
And she's really never needed to. No. I mean, she's definitely at a point in her career where she can always do whatever she wants, really.
Yep. Okay, my next one, which was my number three, I initially didn't have as high until I started really thinking about it and then realized how many things he's been connected to. I'm like, oh man, this one's got to be a lot higher on the list. Jeff Goldblum.
Okay.
His best probably credit in real science fiction is The Fly.
Yeah.
It's fair. Hard sci-fi. It's also a little bit into horror, but mostly not. It's just that what happens is so horrific in the end. That's an intense film, and he does a brilliant job in it. But of course, Independence Day, Jurassic Park, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor Ragnarok, in the same role that he is in Guardians of the Galaxy, but Thor Ragnarok is off in space as well for a chunk of it. So I'm like, hey, he had a small part in The Stand miniseries years ago. Earth Girls Are Easy, he has a lead role in. It's a comedy, but it involves aliens and, you know, it's sci-fi related. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. That is a throwback film that's action, comedy, sci-fi. But then one people completely forget, Cats and Dogs. Are you familiar with the movie Cats and Dogs? Where cats and dogs are actually
spies?
They're actually, yeah, they're not just cats and dogs. There's a whole shadow thing going on in the background, and they're actually working against each other. And
I vaguely think I remember seeing the sequel.
It's a fun movie. You can go check. I don't know about the sequel. I didn't bother with the sequel, but the original was pretty good. So a lot of Jeff Goldblum all over the sci-fi spectrum. I'm like, yeah, all right, and good, because I always like any movie I see Jeff Goldblum in.
My number one pick is one that I don't see very often, because I usually am seeing what was generated around them and just hearing their voice performances.
Okay.
This is Andy Serkis.
Ah.
And the biggest credit here to technically sci-fi would be the Planet of the Apes movies.
Caesar.
His role as Caesar.
Absolutely.
But to me, Andy Serkis isn't just various performances, but we also get things like Snoke in the bad Star Wars movies.
Wow. The bad ones.
I'm just glad that we don't have to lump Phantom Menace in with that anymore. But he does a lot of things. He voices a lot of stuff. He does a lot with mocap. And what I love about including him on this list is Andy Serkis really does the real world sci-fi of filmmaking. This entire technology of mocap and where this has gone and where it started was kind of like a weird new tech thing of, can we do this? And he's kind of almost always on that edge, that cutting edge of technology in filmmaking that I really enjoy seeing.
Sounds good. Yeah. Andy Serkis. Two reasons to have him on the list. All right. Well, my number one, there was never any contest. This one had to be number one because he's been so all over the place on science fiction, big films. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I was wondering if we were going to get him. I intentionally left him off.
I mean,
partially knowing you probably would bring him.
The Terminator, Predator, The Running Man, Total Recall, The Sixth Day, some huge films. And of course, Terminator, multiple movies involving Arnold Schwarzenegger. But again, some of his, because he's such a big name, he's been able to do some of these other films that are stories that maybe wouldn't have gotten anywhere, like The Running Man or Total Recall. But it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, so it gets made.
I didn't include him because he's a huge name in sci-fi and it does a great job in that sense. He's not a good actor.
He's gotten better.
He has. He's still not a good act. Like, it's wild to me that I can say about someone so successful and who I will enjoy the things that they're in. And I'm like, but they're not a good actor. It's not believable characters or anything. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and everything.
And be him. And that's what people come for. You know, I didn't even include True Lies, which is adjacent to science fiction. Some of the tech that's involved with the movie. And that's one of his best.
The idea that you are just such like a personality or you have a certain mold and role that you fit, especially if you bring it from a different entertainment genre and then bring it to acting, is something that a lot of people have done. Some people have done it a lot better, I think, and are better actors than Arnold Schwarzenegger. But he's one of the earlier ones to have done it so successfully.
Okay. Are there any particular actors that you thought about putting on and just didn't quite make the cut?
In a similar vein to the Arnold Schwarzenegger type of career trajectory, I considered a lot of different like wrestlers turned actors. The best of these, I think, is Dave Bautista. I think he's actually a great actor, but I don't think he has enough sci-fi credits for me to want to put him here yet. He's got the Guardians of the Galaxy. He's got Dune, but a lot of the things that I really enjoy him in or think he shows his acting chops aren't sci-fi. And so I didn't put him in.
I had two that I thought about and one, you know, maybe should have made the list. And I'll mention her last. The one that I really thought about and then just decided, nah, not enough, is Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
He's done a few interesting things that are sci-fi or sci-fi adjacent.
Like Fifth Element.
That's the best one that I can think of that's real sci-fi. He's also Armageddon. You know, it's tied to science fiction, and I enjoy those. But the Fifth Element gives us the other one, the woman that I really thought about putting on here, Mila Jovovich.
Okay.
She's the alien in Fifth Element that's the main focus there. All this stuff's happening around. But she's also got the Resident Evil movies, which are based on the video games and done really well. And she's in movie after movie after movie. It's built a whole franchise, and she's fantastic in those movies. I just pulled up her IMDb to see if there were more, and she's done some other stuff that also could be considered sci-fi. So she maybe should be kicking off somebody else I have on the list somewhere. I mean, she's solid.
I think the other one that didn't quite make the list for me, but could have been a valid pick, was Josh Brolin.
Ah, okay. Thanos and a few other things that he's
number
done.
Of other things. And I'll freely admit, I got to a point where I was about halfway through my list, and then I went, let me just look at the cast list for Dune, because so many of these people did so many other things.
Yeah, you know, another one, when you say Dune, just reminds me of another one that maybe, why didn't we even put this one on? Patrick Stewart.
I considered him.
I mean, Jean-Luc Picard, but also he was in the classic 1984 Dune, and he's done a few other things out there.
And heck, if we want to go this way, I think mutants are sci-fi. They have a scientific explanation.
So his whole X-Men franchise, yeah, you know, it's great to have so much science fiction content to enjoy. Whether it's hard sci-fi or fluff, sheer entertainment sci-fi, it doesn't matter. And thank you to all these actors who decide, yeah, we'll do that. We'll do this ridiculous stuff that we're going to spend so much time in front of a green screen on. Why not?
Now, we did roughly rank these in terms of, like, the ones at the beginning of our video were the bottom of our list. The ones at the end here have been the top of our list, minus the honorable mentions. But other than that, I think we did a terrible job actually ranking these so far.
So I think we need to figure it out. That's where we need to wrap this up, is who are the top 10 out of all these great names that we came up with? So what do you think?
I think we can start at the top. Yeah. Work our way down.
Should we give Sigourney Weaver number one?
She has to be number one because she was both of our number two.
You know, I think that's fair. And I feel good about that. I don't feel dirty listing Sigourney Weaver. Her chops in sci-fi are solid. We don't have to explain it away.
Then let's compare our number ones then.
So Arnold Schwarzenegger
versus Andy Serkis.
Schwarzenegger's got more.
I think he's got more credits. I think Andy Serkis's are better. Here's what I'm going to say. Andy Serkis has better performances. Arnold Schwarzenegger may have better and more recognizable movies. So I'm okay giving Arnold the lead on this, because we're talking about the impact in sci-fi as a whole.
We're talking about the top actors of science fiction, though, and it's hard to argue that Andy Serkis isn't better.
I was willing to give it to you, but I agree. With that statement, I started with he gives the better performance.
I'm going to bow to the wisdom of my son on this. So we're putting Andy Serkis as number two. Arnold Schwarzenegger gets the number three. Can I have Jeff Goldblum for number four?
Sure.
Where do we put number five then? Do you have one you think is better than the ones I've listed? You want to suggest would be the number five?
Tell me who you would put from your list in number five, and I'll tell you if one of mine I think should be higher.
I'm feeling really good about Mila Jovovich now.
But she didn't fit on your list in the first place.
But maybe I should have looked at her stronger. So can I say number five, Mila Jovovich?
Sure.
Hey! You know, sometimes what wants to happen, happens. I keep saying her name wrong, by the way. It's Jovovich, not Jokovic.
I'm bad at names, period. I think Jason Momoa should be six because he made both of our lists.
Okay, I'm not sure about that one. We're putting him above Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
All right, well then Keanu Reeves got me next.
Keanu Reeves has really big things. I think his best acting things are not sci-fi, and his best sci-fi stuff is some of his weakest personal acting. His performance as Neo is awful.
But some of these other movies you have not seen him perform in, and he's pretty good at some of these others.
That's fair.
Okay, so
I can't see everything.
So we've got seven now. What else?
Somewhere in these last three, I want to give Jared Harris credit.
Okay, number 10.
But I think it's like a number 10. I don't think he's got it, but he's just one of my new favorite actors to see in anything sci-fi.
All right, I'll put him down there. He's developing a good repertoire. Tom Cruise. Again, some of this really hard sci-fi stuff that he's been able to put out.
As much as we hate it, we might have to give him a slot. Let's
give
him
nine.
We'll give him nine. Because we're not huge Tom Cruise fans, but we understand he has a place.
The one that you said that has just been percolating that I'm like, worthy, Zoe Saldana.
Let's throw it in there then.
Let's put her in at number eight. Does that mean we're missing anyone from your list that, what? What? How did we not put this one on?
I mean, I think we're missing ones where there were going to be like certain niches of people who are going to scream at us that they could have been top three, which is where, like, I think my sister, your daughter, would be yelling at me for not having Katie Sackhoff on the list.
Too niche.
But that is a specific subset of the sci-fi community that I think super loves her.
And a lot are like super one note.
Yeah.
So we have some pretty decent actors on here, done a variety of things. That's our top 10.
We've got some that probably don't belong in the list, but we want them there anyways.
I got nothing else. You got anything else?
I'm all tapped out.
Okay, good one, good one. Nice talking to you, Zach. It's good. Our fans like to see you on the screen. Otherwise, it's just me, and oh, I'm okay. Let me just,
no, I'm kidding.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. Again, if you enjoyed this, hit the like button. And we'd love to hear what you think about our list. For example, if, like Zach's sister, you think we blew it by leaving someone off, put it in the comments. Let us know your thoughts. Who did we not even think of? And who did we totally get in the wrong order? Interact with us. You can do it in the comments, but also down in the show notes, you can see how to get on our Discord server, talk to us over there, or find us on social media. Twitter is the main place. The other spots, we just kind of
exist.
Haunt. Yeah. But that's it. We'll leave you for today. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.